Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and Aaron is gone tonight. He's on vacation, so wave to him. He's hopefully having a good time with his family, getting away from it all. Tonight, I've got two special guests with me. Returning, Natalie Schlittman as my co-host. She's my Aaron surrogate.
Hello.
welcome. And then we have Chris Chavez, who I met at the Buffalo Comic – not the Buffalo Comic Con, the Nickel City Comic Con. He had his table. He was doing his podcast, the Back Issues comic book podcast, and we met, and we've been talking, and we're trying to get on each other's shows, and we're having Chris here as our Trek noob for this evening.
The virgin. The Star Trek virgin.
He's the Star Trek – he's like a second base now, third base.
Yeah, I think I got to second base by now. I have some knowledge. Next gen.
You listened to our episode on Holograms Gone Wild, and you went back and watched those two episodes with Data playing Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, you guys were right, too, back to back. I haven't watched any of the other ones to say, hey, you know. But when you watch it back to back, it has a feel of almost watching a mini movie or like a two-part, you know, story that is really sweet. I liked it.
I was surprised how well they worked together. I mean, I knew the characters were, you know, the same, and you had the Moriarty character, and I knew they're supposed to kind of follow each other, but I've never sat down and watched them back to back before.
Yeah.
And watching them back to back was like, wow, this is really cool. It just flows so well.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a try sometime. I like those episodes too, but I haven't watched them back to back either.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to get back to us once you do that. Let us know what you thought of that.
Yeah, totally.
Very entertaining.
So this news is old because of the way podcasts work. By the time you hear this, it'll be like a week and a half old. But there was an article that came out online. I can't remember who it was. I linked it to both of you. But the idea was that with Star Trek Discovery, they're no longer going to be bound by Gene Roddenberry's people. Federation officers can't have any problems with each other. It's not going to be perfect and hand-holding Care Bear Land anymore in Star Trek. How do you guys feel about that? I guess mostly Natalie, since she's more familiar with Star Trek. But how do you feel about that?
Can I ask you guys something real quick?
Sure.
I was going to say, as a Star Trek noob, not really understanding much of this, the idea behind what they're talking about, is this a known thing? This is a golden rule Gene Roddenberry had?
Oh yes, very much so.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the only time like the crewmates could have strife with each other, and get away with it is like they're taken over by an alien entity or like something, you know, was wrong with them or there's
Kirk
some
splits into good Kirk and bad Kirk.
you mean wimpy Kirk and rapey Kirk?
Yes, I do.
Because that episode it's good, but it's also really cringy at the end because I feel like Spock's like, you enjoyed it when he was kind of rapey, didn't you? And I'm like, I can't believe Leonard Nimoy would have said that. Because I can't believe he didn't argue against that line. Because, I mean, I know he doesn't say it explicitly, but like, the subtext is you liked it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh. I can't believe, like, that Nimoy went along with that. But it's a good episode of the original series. Yeah. It's interesting. But, yeah, like,
this was his golden rule.
Yeah, his golden rule. I mean, they kind of broke it a little bit in Deep Space Nine.
Because a little bit in Voyager, too.
Voyager.
And Enterprise.
Yeah, well, I mean, Gene Roddenberry had been dead for years, you know, when those had kind of rolled around. So, but Rick Berman kind of did hold the torch and tried to hold them to it a little bit. Although everyone forgot about Deep Space Nine because it was kind of like the redheaded stepchild of Star Trek, and they'd focus on Voyager once TNG wrapped up. So Deep Space Nine got to do whatever they wanted to, pretty much. And so you get a little more tension and more realistic kind of stories. And if they go the Deep Space Nine route, I'm fine with it personally. I mean, it is a kind of a hard rule to kind of stick to.
But yeah, no, I totally agree. it would be nice for them to, you know, step out of their bounds and see something a little bit different, and that'll probably attract you know, more new viewers and, you know, fans. So I'm kind of all for it.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays itself out.
And this is for the new series?
Yeah, the new series. They said they're specifically dropping that rule.
Now, before we recorded, we were talking about, you guys were telling me there's two different universes.
Yeah, there's
Prime.
Yeah. There's everything, and then there's the three Star Trek movies that came out with J.J. Abrams. So everything is under one camp except for those three movies.
What about this series? Where is that?
CBS claims it's under the original camp.
Okay.
Although, by the way it looks, people are dubious on that. Some people are saying, no, it's got to be J.J. because of the view screen is also a window thing. Uh-huh. Also, that things look way too advanced in it versus TOS. But I mean, CBS themselves is saying it's Prime, so I have to take that the word, I suppose.
I guess we'll see when it gets here.
Unless it's its own thing, it's like a soft reboot where it's like, it's, you know, it's kind of in the original timeline, but it's gonna march to its own tune.
Where does this take place? Like before
10 years then? Before Kirk.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it takes place between Enterprise.
I'm
just saying it takes place between Enterprise and TOS.
Yeah.
So
much closer to TOS than Enterprise.
How old is Kirk during this time? Is he doing anything?
I think he's 35 at the time he takes captain of the Enterprise. So he's either just graduating the academy or maybe on the Farragut.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
I think.
Have they said if there's going to be any mention of him or showing? Does he show up a young...
We don't know.
They kept a lot of this new series pretty secretive.
It's super secret. Basically, only thing we know for sure is what's in the trailer, and we know Harry Mudd's going to be in it, who is a reoccurring character in the TOS. He occurred twice, and then was in the animated series once.
Hmm.
He was kind of a comic relief character, and this is like a darker, grittier version of Star Trek. And so I'm guessing they're going to get more into his, like, you know, darker side, I guess, where, like, maybe he was like a sex trafficker. I don't know.
Kind of implied that that's what he was.
Well, I mean, he was dealing in women. And the first time you meet him, he's delivering hot women to miners on this mining planet.
What?
But they're not really hot. They take pills to make them look hot.
That's amazing.
'60s.
it's like Batman. They just take pills and they're hot. Like the '60s Adam was Batman. Yeah. I feel like there's something like that in that show too, where like beauty pills.
That's amazing.
Or just automatically makes you pretty. Or Get Smart. That's another good '60s show. You just take some pills and you're pretty all of a sudden. So I feel like that could have kind of been a thing. So I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Harry Mudd, and they've confirmed him for more than one episode. He's being played by Rainn Wilson from The Office.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's really weird. So, like, you know, we know he's going to be in it, and then we know it's in the trailer, and that's about it. Like, and we know the casting. So it's just really, like, they've been really holding this close to the chest.
It's only a few months away, right? When
September.
Is it September?
And it's September 24th? It's, like, the last Sunday of the month.
Hmm.
So that'll be fun. Another thing that came out, I think it was Entertainment Weekly or something like that. It was the picture of the transporter room. And they said it was a transporter room, I guess hinting that there's going to be more than one transporter room. And the first thing I thought of was the time machine from the original H.G. Wells time machine back in, like, was it the 60s or 70s?
Yeah, I think it was like 62 or something.
He's got this big wheel on the back of it that spins around and helps him go back in time. Natalie, before the show, was talking about how Austin Powers also had the wheel with like the spiral on it that helps you go back in time. So like a spinny thing that's a disc always seems to imply time travel. So I can't believe they did this by accident. Like, it seems like a very conscious choice that they're having this big wheel that spins. Because it looks like it spins. Because they showed a little trailer, like a behind-the-scenes trailer. They showed the back of a set. And it looked like there was a spinny thing with this, like, light. Hmm. So I wonder if that was the back of the transporter set that we saw in that.
Is there a scene in the trailer where you see them beaming?
We do, but you see them beaming from the surface. You don't see them on the ship. So the first time we've seen the transporter room was in that image. So it's like, that's weird. I'm like, and it looks like there's like a gun, like a barrel on the center of the where it spins. Like, so like, is it does it like shoot a beam at you and then dematerialize you? because that seems like it would be a way step backwards as far as transporter technology works. Because in the Enterprise, they just had a regular transporter pad.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah,
of having a bunch of small ones, it was just one really big one because they, you know, couldn't make them small enough yet. So it's just like this seems like a major step backwards in technology, even though it's 90 years after Enterprise.
Hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I haven't read too much about it yet. I just kind of saw the one image. Didn't really look into very deep detail yet. But
what did you think of when you saw it? Like it had to—it had to evoke something in you when you saw that.
Austin Powers. But yeah, I mean, it didn't really look like a traditional transporter room as we've seen in any of the other series. So I was, a little bit confused as to why they would be changing that much.
I mean, I'm hoping that they're also time machines. That would be kind of fun.
I was going to say, what are your thoughts if that's the case, that there's time travel as well?
Like built into the ships. I'm like, how did they lose this? Because in Star Trek canon, like time travel isn't mandatory built on ships to like 29th century. And those couple episodes in Voyager were like, oh, it's a random ship from the 29th century. Just traveled there because it's a time machine and a spaceship. Huh. Like, I think it was a 29th century ship or 27th century. So many years after the latest incarnation of Star Trek is when supposedly these become standard. So, like, I don't know how things would be standard so far before Kirk.
Or maybe Discovery's some sort of a special ship.
Maybe they're a future ship.
Well, I mean, like... Well, not like a future ship, but like a
experimental ship
in TNG, where it was a cloaking and phasing ship. It's just like a one-off, so to say.
Ah, that's true. That's a good point. Never thought of it that way. But yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what it actually is. And if it's only a transporter, like why does it spin?
Something cool to look at.
Yeah, let's distract you. It's like the J.J. Abrams thing. Let's do, instead of lens flare, let's put spinning backdrops to confuse the audience. Oh, it spins, so it's going to be great.
People with vertigo are just getting sick watching the show.
Oh, no, not the transporter suit.
Look away.
And then, the transporter effect they showed in the trailer looked great because it looks like they do kind of digitize. Like, they showed, the beams, but then on their skin it looks like there's, a grid where they get, cut into pieces. Like, that kind of looks cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. A little Tron-like.
Yeah. So, I can't wait. They've got to start hyping this up more. I need to see more.
Yeah, I would enjoy seeing more, too. After being kept in the dark for so long.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting for forever.
When's the last time it was a Star Trek series?
Enterprise ended in, 2005, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, 12 years ago it ended.
Oh, wow.
And it started, 15, 16 years ago. So, I mean, the beginning of a Star Trek show was, 15 or 16 years ago. Long time since we've had a brand new Star Trek show.
Yeah, and then we had the movies, but it's not the same.
It's not. I mean, they're fun, they're pretty, but I mean, you gotta wait 4 or 5 years.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Between each one, it's just it's such a long wait because J.J. Abrams just drug his heels. I mean, I couldn't believe there was like a 6-year gap between the first one and the second one. It was like, what are you doing? Like, movies should have a 2 or 3 year turnaround, and Star Wars has got an every year turnaround. Come on, Star Trek.
But don't tell James Cameron that, okay? Still waiting for Avatar 2 here.
Is anyone?
Actually, no, I'm not.
No. Like, is anyone really waiting for Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5? I mean, it was an okay movie. I mean, it was Pocahontas in 3D with aliens instead of Indians. But, does anyone really want sequels to these movies?
I think they did at the time. But, it's been almost 10 years.
Yeah, when everyone was gaga over the 3D effect.
Yeah, but 3D's been running to the ground now. Yeah,
now
so
it's
like
done. It's been done to death.
I don't even think they make 4K 3D TVs. I think 3D is done as far as the home TV fad.
Not if James Cameron has anything to say about
that. I have a 3D 1080p TV. Nice. Screw you, 4K. My TV's 3D. So, what brings us here together today? It's not marriage.
Oh, I hope not.
No, it's Q who. Which, you know, it would be funny if Q and Picard got married because if they've got such a great relationship. Yes! All the silence.
Crickets.
Do you want to take it away, Natalie?
Sure. So, yeah, the episode we're going to talk about is called Q Who. It's a season 2 Star Trek The Next Generation episode. It's... Oh, it's a... It's just a little bit older than me by a month.
This episode is 1 month your senior.
I did not know that. So, yeah, we can go and talk about the plot synopsis.
That's why you're not going to tell us what date it came out.
Let's see. May 8th, 1989. Now you know how old I am. So the kind of soft opening of this episode is with a fresh young ensign out of the academy, and she thinks it's a good idea to order hot chocolate in engineering, which makes for a funny, awkward moment with Captain Picard where she spills the hot chocolate on him.
I also think it's funny how she's like saying please and thank you to the computer, and what's funny about it is that Geordi is like... He's not like, why are you ordering hot chocolate in engineering? He's like, why are you saying please and thank you to the computer? It's like your priorities are wrong. Like, you're going to complain about her having hot chocolate in here, but you're not telling her about it now. You're going to wait a minute.
Was this a new character at the time?
She was a brand new character, and she's only seen one more time, and I'm so sad about that because I love Selena Gomez.
That's what I was going to ask you.
I want to see her spill coffee on everyone.
If she was around much longer.
Actually,
after that.
Sonia Gomez. Selena Gomez is a real person.
Oh, yeah. Singer, right? No.
Close, yeah. Though.
I was wondering if she was a character that was going to stick around because her interaction with Geordi
is great.
If it was very much like
character building,
like bumbling and kind of like, "Oops, I'm so sorry, and I want to please you so badly." And he's like, "Just relax.
Just relax.
Take you under your wing." And then
it would be the one person he could have scored with probably because he's got the worst sex life on the ship. It's awful. Like, he is so awkward with women, and that's the only woman on the show that he's kind of normal with, and they write her off after the second episode. I'm so sad, because I love Miss Gomez.
Yeah, she was quite funny and cute, I thought, but it was especially funny when she was trying to wipe off Captain Picard's uniform.
Just, like stroking him, like, a little, it's like, Loa, no.
Why did Geordi take why did he feel like he had to say it was his fault? I didn't get that part.
Because she was new, he like, I guess, hadn't given her engineering 101 yet.
I see. Okay.
Like, no food or drinks in the engineering section.
It's my fault, Captain. I'm like, how is that your fault?
Well, so he's he's the head of engineering at that point, so okay. he has to show some responsibility for his people.
Yeah, true. Also, he's helping to score with Selena Gomez.
You should call her Selena Gomez. I know. That's
what I'm calling
her.
Miss Gomez. Ensign Gomez. I just watched the episode twice today. I'm calling her the wrong name. It's awesome.
Oh, it's fine. They're very close names. But anyways, and so then Picard just says, you know what? How about I just go change my uniform instead? Seems like the more simpler option. So he goes to go back to his quarters, heads into the turbo lift, but when he walks out, he's on a shuttlecraft. And he's like, what the devil?
Ensign, what are you doing here?
And then, Ensign whatever turns around and it's none other than Q, so that makes total sense as to why he would walk out of the turbo lift and into a shuttlecraft.
Yeah, it was a great transition.
Can you guys answer something for me again? I'm sorry, I'm going to be very... asking a lot of questions.
This is Trek Noob, so ask questions.
Well, at least if you have listeners who don't know either, this will be a learning experience for them as well. So how do you explain Q, the idea behind the entity? Because he's an entity, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you explain it? He's not an alien race.
Well, he's an alien race.
Oh, he's an alien race?
Yeah, and what makes it even more clear is that they're all called Q.
Yeah.
And they live in a place called the Q Continuum. So every single entity of the Q race is called Q.
Huh.
And they don't normally hang out in, like, our dimension, I guess, so to say.
When they do, they just come here to cause trouble. And like, there's been ones that like just, you know, fall in love with humanity. There's been a couple of different Qs that have done that and kind of just, you know, stuck their nose in places and helped or hindered as they saw fit.
Have Q showed up in other series?
They will show up in the future, but they didn't show up previously. Although you can kind of say maybe that Squire of Gothos, that Trelane might be a baby Q. I hate Squire of Gothos because the character's so freaking annoying. Like, they have the same kind of powers, so it seems like they might be the same kind of thing. But Q's annoying, but he's so classy when he's annoying, and he's endearing to the audience. He's annoying to the car, but I love Q. But I did not like Trelane at all.
Okay. Okay.
What about you? Did you like Trelane?
No, not really.
No. he's hard to like. You know.
Yeah.
But then in Voyager, you meet a different kind of Q. But then you also see the same. Actually, no, you see a bunch of different Q in Voyager because you actually go to the Q continuum in Voyager. Hmm. There's a girl that Q likes who's a Q, and there's a guy who's a Q.
So there's also a guy who's named Q that later names himself Quinn that actually he's a lot different than the other Q. I don't want to say
he's more helpful. You know,
yeah, he was more helpful.
He was more helpful than other Q.
But this Q's debut was in Next Gen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in the pilot episode of The Next Generation.
And this was second appearance in this episode.
This is third appearance.
Third
appearance. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And he shows up again in the series.
So the idea behind him showing up in this one is strictly just to kind of
introduce him to the Borg.
Put Captain Picard in his place and say you're too arrogant.
Yeah.
Let me show you what you got.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Pretty much.
Nice.
And then, I like this
character.
And then you'll see him because they mention it that he was put on trial for the crimes of just being human. That's in the first episode. That's the pilot episode of the first season.
Yeah.
And then he's also in the season finale, All Good Things.
Nice.
Series finale, which is a fantastic
episode. And he only shows up once in Deep Space Nine. Episode called Q-less, which is an aptly named title because the series is Q-less after that episode.
Yeah, he didn't fit so well in the Deep Space Nine universe. Fit better within Voyager.
I think he would have been fine in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, but Sisko wouldn't have stood for him.
What can Sisko do? I mean, the only reason Sisko got to punch him in the face is because they were in a boxing ring that Q made. It's not like Sisko could do anything. Although I think if he did show up again in Deep Space Nine, he would have to bother someone other than Sisko because they definitely didn't mesh the way Picard and Sisko Picard and Q did.
Yeah, definitely.
So yes, you see lots of. I mean, Q pops up all over the place.
Nice.
I hope he's in Star Trek Discovery. I hope there's a Q in Star Trek Discovery.
That would be pretty cool because they didn't have any Q in Enterprise.
Yeah, that's true. That's sad. Although Enterprise did have Jeffrey Combs, which is almost as good as having John DeLance.
Oh, he's so good. I hope he's in the new Star Trek.
I hope he's in it too, because Jeffrey Combs could be anybody. Or
yeah, Jeffrey Combs is a
everybody.
He's an actor who's been in several different Star Trek series, like pretty much each playing a different character.
Oh, really?
He plays widely different characters. In Enterprise, he plays an Andorian. It's a blue guy with an antenna. In Deep Space Nine, he plays, I think, at least two different Ferengi.
Oh, so he doesn't even look the same in each.
Yeah,
season.
He played a Ferengi in an episode of Enterprise. That may be what you're thinking.
Okay,
of.
He played a Ferengi in Enterprise. He played a Ferengi named Brunt, who you love to hate in Deep Space Nine, because he's mean to Quark, and Quark is one of my favorite characters. So you kind of love to hate him. And then he's also like one of the chief bad guys of the series. He's a Vorta. And then he also plays like one or two like side characters you only see once in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, yeah. So he's kind of he's been around.
He's a and he's a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
All his roles
he's
are fantastic.
Best known for being in the Reanimator movie, like the first one. Mm-hmm. Played the scientist.
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, it's like a 80s kind of body horror.
Yeah. B movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I never seen it. But you know what she's talking about.
Yeah. I know what she's talking about.
Yeah, well, if that way you know him, he's a great actor. He's awesome in Star Trek. So every time you see him in Star Trek, it's always a treat.
Nice.
So he's on the shuttlecraft with Q.
Yep. And Q is kind enough to clean off Captain Picard's uniform. So the hot cocoa stain got taken care of.
Yes, it did. He's a full service dry cleaner.
Mm-hmm. And then so after that, Geordi and Ensign Selena Gomez head into 10 forward, which is kind of the, you know, the bar.
You gotta relax and look at the stars and we'll flirt.
I was gonna
not
ask
talk
you guys,
about work.
I was gonna ask you guys, is that like the name of the club or the bar, like that bar? Ten, what is it? 10 forward?
10 forward.
10 forward. Well, it means it's so it's on deck 10 and then it's all the way forward.
Okay.
It's kind of,
it's also where it's located on the ship.
So the entire deck is that bar?
Well, no, it's just the forward section of the ship.
I see, okay.
Which gets scraped off in Generations. I was wondering if Whoopi died, but then you see her at the wedding in Nemesis, so I guess she didn't die in the when the ship crashed. Because I thought 10 forward just got scraped off the bottom of the ship when that thing fell.
So yeah. So anyways, we're in 10 forward, and Guinan is a part of the cast now, who is Whoopi Goldberg, and they didn't really make it super clear, but she's part of an alien race that's super long lived, so she's been around for hundreds of years, and they also kind of touch on this where she has kind of like feelings throughout the series, like she can kind of sense things.
Like, she can sense trans-dimensional rifts.
Oh, nice.
She can sense when she's in the wrong universe.
I figured there was something when she had that weird look on her face.
Like, there's an episode you should watch called Yesterday's Enterprise, where, like, something happens and they get shifted into a different universe. And she's like, yeah, I don't think we're in the right place. And she's, like, looking at a character who's dead. And so she's like, yeah, you're dead. You're not supposed to be here. So she's got like a really weird power. Like, she's got to be Q-ish level because they had this, like, cat fight
thing. Yeah.
And I'm like... And they never, ever explain, like, what the deal with her is, ever.
Okay.
And it's so disappointing.
She's a very mysterious character. You don't know a lot about her.
She's the next generation's get-out-of-jail-free card. So basically, if they can't explain something, hey, Guinan! And the Guinan says something cryptic, and it's like, oh, okay. That's pretty much her character for the entire run.
Nice.
So Guinan, you know, she's like, is everything okay? Something doesn't feel right.
Troy comes in, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. But then Troy comes in a puff. It's like, where's the captain? Like, she needs him for something. And then they're like, where's the captain? And then they look, oh, he's on the ship. And then they start doing this, the spiral pattern to try to find out where he is.
But yeah, so anyways, we go back to inside the shuttle. And Picard tries to find the Enterprise. And Q's like, you're too far away. So, you know. F you, Picard.
We've been on the shuttle for 6 hours at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we get back to, you know, Counselor Troy is like, where is Captain Picard? And then the ship's like, he's gone. Can't find him anywhere.
I love how Wesley's like, how could they get a shuttle? That's impossible. We've talked about many times in the show before where people get shuttlecraft super easy and undetected all the time.
There's like no security.
And Wesley's like, this is impossible. And I'm like, no, Wesley, it's very possible. Your jackass friend younger than you steals a shuttlecraft somehow.
I was going to ask you, is there trackers on everyone on the ship so that whenever you want to find someone, you just ask the ship? Oh, okay.
The comm badge is the tracker.
Yeah, the comm badge is like, you know, oh,
your GPS.
But then, of course, you can also take off your comm badge and wander around.
That's also true. But Picard's was on him, and so that's why, like, oh, yeah, he's not on the ship.
Nice.
They try to find the shuttle, can't find it, it's not in the sector. And then eventually Picard agrees to listen to Q, and he takes the shuttle and Picard back to the Enterprise. And then that's pretty much like, let's see. Okay. So then, and then that's where Guinan sees Q.
They have their standoff.
What was
they
that?
Have their
like
standoff.
They have psychic power, like the force type powers.
Like Q can manifest anything. that he wants to. So he could just flip his fingers, and she could be a toad or explode.
What was up with Guinan?
Put into the I don't know. Like they never explained her powers.
Yeah, they never explained that. They're
but just she, like, she's oh. got to be comparable to a Q if she can put some kind of stance. You know, to be like to be able to fight him. So I mean, she's got to be a powerful being too.
Thought we were going to see some Doctor Strange action there.
They never. I was hoping so, but right? they never do. And so Q's whole spiel is like, I just want to be like you. I've been exiled. Can I? I can be it. I can be on your show. I can be part of the team. And then Picard just a total dick to him.
I like when he's like, what job is too low for you?
That's pretty funny. Yeah, he has kind of a good reason to be kind of a dick to him because I mean, Q did put, like, you know, the Enterprise crew on trial for the entire crimes of humanity. So.
But at the same time, like, you got to be tactful when you're dealing with a being that has unlimited power.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't just be a dick to it.
Right.
Like, it's like if God came down and he's hanging out with you. He's like, hey, I just want to hang out. And it's like, no, go away. Like, you don't say that to an all-powerful being. I'm sorry. And then, like, okay, you can be like, okay, maybe I don't trust you. You know, here, like, let's earn some trust. Let's have some back and forth. Instead, they just turn him down. And they just like, ha-ha, we're better than you. We're turning you down. And I'm just kind of like, oh. Like, I mean, Q is totally right. The hubris of you know, their hubris is big. And Q was right most of the episode, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is one of the few episodes where, I mean, Q is still being, you know, a bit of a douche canoe, but it's actually for a pretty good reason.
It is for a good reason, and but I think if any episode where Q is right in what he's thinking, what he's doing, it's definitely this episode.
Yeah,
he's showing them a whole new world of hurt and. And he's like, he keeps on saying, do you want my help? Do you want my help? Do you want my help? And Picard just like, is just like, no, I'm not going to have it. I'm just like, oh, come on.
Too proud.
Way too proud. And like, not willing to forgive. Where is the evolved human that's going to be willing to forgive? I don't know.
But yeah, so then anyways, Q is saying that, you know, that the Enterprise crew needs him since they aren't prepared for, you know, what's in the future. And Picard says, yeah, we are. Bring it on, son. And then Q, in retaliation, decides to fling the Enterprise about 7,000 light years away from their current position into completely uncharted space.
Probably like the corner of the Delta Quadrant. Here you go.
Yeah.
Go take a look at that little corner of the Delta Quadrant.
Little snap of the finger.
Yeah, just like...
Exactly, yeah.
It's like a fly just flicked it across the galaxy. It's like, here we go. I just love how powerful Q is.
Yeah, yeah. And so then Guinan says, you know, once they get there, Guinan's like, oh, we should leave this place. This isn't a good place.
GTFO as fast as you can.
Yeah, and Picard's like, oh, let's do a little exploring first. You know, whatever. Because that's what
we're here for. And they find a planet with a city, all its cities scooped out, which we'll see again in Best of Both Worlds.
Hmm. Yeah, so they find a Class M planet, and the scans say that there used to be a civilization there, but it's no longer there anymore, which is very similar to what happened to outposts along the Neutral Zone, which is what they talked about in the first season episode, The Neutral Zone, I believe.
Aptly named title, yes.
When they're doing that, this ship appears, and it's cube-shaped. Oh, that's a clue.
Cubes are fun. They're perfect because they're 3x3x3.
Yeah. And so then Guinan sees the ship, and she recognizes the aliens that the alien species that the ship belongs to, and she says it's the Borg. And she also said that the Borg was responsible for the, you know, near extinction of her alien race, of her people. And she
100 years ago.
Yeah, so this would have been like I mean, I guess hundreds of years ago from that point, because her species is so long-lived.
Yeah.
And then she wisely says, protect yourself, Captain, or they'll destroy you.
I think it's funny how she puts it all on him. It's like, yeah, they won't destroy us. They'll destroy you. I thought that was a strange turn of phrase.
She's like, I'm sneaking on one of those shuttles that no one's stopping me.
I mean, that was weird. Like, Guinan, they're going to destroy you too. Unless if you can magically teleport yourself away.
Maybe she can. Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, we don't know her powers.
She did say you, not us.
Yeah. Interesting phrasing.
Yeah. And so then after that, there is a single Borg that transports itself to engineering. To, you know, check things out.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Geordi calls for security. Picard comes down with security. And this is, like, my favorite part of the episode, I think.
I laughed
at
this.
Where Picard is like, Worf, go check the, go stop him from messing with the computer. And Worf's like, Ensign? And then the Ensign goes and gets his ass kicked. I just wanted Picard to turn around and was like, I ask you to do it. It's like the chain of command. It just, you know, it just goes captain, lieutenant, and then ensign.
And like earlier, Geordi was like, captain, that's my fault. How come Worf wasn't like, captain, that's my fault?
I told him to, you know, go talk to the guy. And I love the scene that they just shoot him. And then when the next guy comes down and he's got his shield, he's adapted. And he just kind of looks over at him like, bitch, please. Just the smug look on his face is like, haha. It's just weird seeing the Borg like acknowledge somebody, but then with such like condescending. It's great.
The idea behind it is that the Borg is just constantly learning, so it gets the information, realizes that's how the first one was incapacitated. It's not happening
exactly.
Again.
It adapted to the thing.
It'll adapt to the technology to protect itself.
Which I don't know if you've seen like there's a funny cartoon that floats around Facebook every now and then where it shows like the Death Star and it shows a Borg cube. It blows up the Borg cube and then like three other Borg cubes come on and then they can't destroy it.
No,
because they've adapted to it. It's pretty good.
I haven't seen that one either, but I'll have to give that a watch.
It's just like a comic
anyway,
strip.
So the Borg drone, that's what the single guys are called. They're normally called drones. It's just a you know, checking out the Enterprise, trying to access the system, and then Q comes back and he tells Picard that it's not interested in the humans themselves, it's only interested in the ship's technology.
Although
which
they
I
do
guess is semi-true.
It changes later on, where they become interested in taking over other races by assimilation.
Well, and only races worthy of assimilation.
Yes, only races worthy of assimilation. Because
talking
about
you, Kazon.
Yeah, you saw my picture I put up there. Unworthy of assimilation. Like, there's a race that's so pathetic, like, the Borg just ignore them. like they just, like, don't even want them as part of their collective consciousness because they're so dumb.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I wish there was other examples of it, but apparently,
the Packleds would be part of that too.
Maybe. But you know, maybe that a Borg want the desire to go. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping Neelix's race, the Talaxians, would be part of it, but I think Talaxians would get assimilated. So I'm like,
I think they would. And then we have the incident where the one Borg gets destroyed, then the other Borg appears, and Worf tries to shoot it. That doesn't work. Then the Borgs get, you know, well, the one Borg gets transported back over to the Borg ship and takes something from the dead Borg, and then the dead Borg just kind of disappears.
It's like just harvesting parts.
Yeah, just like, wow,
we're not wasting
these. These are mine now.
We're not wasting this.
I want these.
Yeah, so then after that, they hold a little team meeting, which Guinan's invited to because she's the only person on the ship that's seen a Borg before. And she tells them that the Borg, they don't negotiate with people. And at that point, the Borg decide to hail the Enterprise, and Picard, you know, tries to negotiate with them. But the Borg are like, screw you, we don't care.
But they didn't use their regular taglines, which they don't show up until, I guess, most of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, the Borg's regular tagline is, resistance is futile.
You'll be assimilated.
Nice.
You will be assimilated.
Nice.
They were kind of kinder. I mean, even they were still being dicks, but I mean, like, at least they weren't like, oh, resistance is futile.
And so then
they're still trying out catchphrases. They're just like kind of throwing them out there until it sticks.
Yeah. Well, and this is also the first appearance of them, so you know they don't have everything quite all figured out yet.
They never do the first time you meet someone in Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at the Ferengi.
Look at the Klingons. Look at the Trill.
Exactly. So yeah, and then Counselor Troi says that the Borg are part of a hive mind, so they don't have a leader on the ship. It's just all of them, you know.
It's teamwork.
They're all part of teamwork. Team slavery? I mean, I don't know. Mind slavery?
Mind slavery, yes. That's how it rolls.
Yeah. And so then the Borg are like, okay, well, we're, you know, enough of this. They lock onto the Enterprise and use a tractor beam. And then, in an unusual move, they use a cutting beam to get a section of the ship out.
That's such an awesome shot.
Yeah, that was really cool. They don't really show anything like that again.
ever. But you see it pull out deck by deck by deck, and it just gets sucked into their ship, and 18 people are lost.
I saw this twice. I saw it for like a week ago, and then right before we recorded. And right before we recorded, I actually noticed the deck by deck that you could see it as the cylinders coming out.
That was an awesome little thing they did. It was, and 18 people are lost, and they're like, damn it, Q! They're blaming Q.
People.
It's not like, oh, we should have listened to you. Oh, we should have been nice to you. It's like, damn it, Q, why did you do this?
Yeah, and so then they are successful in severing the tractor beam, and then they also like blast, you know, they blast part of the Borg ship, so it's damaged.
I was gonna say when he asks, it's Worf that shoots, right?
Yeah,
he asks him to take out the tractor beam.
Mm-hmm.
The first shot completely misses and hits like the bottom corner.
The first three shots completely miss.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, he's not that good at shooting.
Well, I think the
I was like,
the memory alpha was saying that their tractor beam interfered with their targeting sensors.
Ah, okay, that makes
sense. So that's why it missed three times.
Okay,
and then as it got damaged, it kept getting closer and closer and closer.
Nice.
So they're able to hit it. Which like I didn't even really think about or notice until I read the memory alpha. I was like, oh. I just thought they were trying to break up the ship because, like,
my first thought was like, he's a bad shot, man.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, Borg ships, which you learn at First Contact, nothing's really localized. Like, in First Contact,
it's not like a traditional ship,
right?
Yeah, like things are spread out everywhere, and like non-important places, things or places that look like they're not important are actually important. Because, like, in Next Gen First Contact, they show the Borg cube, and Picard's like, "Yeah, shoot it there," and everyone's like, "Why?" And that's like the locker room.
This place isn't important, and Picard's like, shut up, Data. Just listen to me.
It's like it's the locker room where they change their clothes. I mean, like, that doesn't look important. And then they all shoot this one little area of the ship, and then it blows up. And everyone's like, oh, well, maybe we should have listened to you in the first place. But because I had that knowledge, that future knowledge, I mean, I guess that's why I thought they were shooting in different places.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Worf's not that bad of a shot.
Worf's pretty pathetic. I mean, he does get taken out by a blue barrel, so.
It's probably heavier than it looks.
I don't know. Those engineering things look pretty light whenever Brian hits them with a bat. They go flying. Either that or, you know, O'Brien's as strong as the Hulk. They also sound pretty empty.
He's pretty big. Maybe he is.
He's a teeny Irishman.
Yeah, but he's like built like a barrel.
That's true. That's true.
So I think Worf's better at like hand to hand combat.
I don't know about that.
Worf gets he did win that one Batleth tournament.
That's true, but like that's true. But I mean, like that was against other Klingons. If Worf is fighting anyone other than Klingons, he almost always loses.
That's true. He's a little too Klingon in that regard.
Yeah. It's like Worf versus other Klingon, Worf will probably win. Worf against anyone else, I don't think he'll ever win. It's pretty sad because you see a Klingon as part of the ship, so you expect him to be this badass, right? And like he never is, and it's so disappointing because like an old man beats him up once.
Especially like that the new engineer girl was talking about, like how everyone's trying to get on this ship and you have to be the best of the best
the
to
best,
be on this ship.
Yeah. Oh, there's little inconsistencies here and there.
It's fun.
It is. It's definitely fun. So now that they're free, they're like, hey, we should check it out instead of GTFO.
Mm-hmm.
So
they, you know, the send away and away team. And of course, you know, Riker, Worf, and Data are on the away team. So, you know, you send your first officer, your second officer,
and your security officer.
And your security officer, because they're not important.
Never.
So they kind of go check out the ship, and they go over to the ship, and the Borg like seem to be in some type of stasis. You know, they're not moving. They're just kind of hanging out. The active ones, they just ignore the away team completely.
They figure out they're trying to fix the ship. That it's a group effort. They're trying to fix the ship. And while they're discovering this, they find the Borg baby drawers.
That was creepy, so dude. That was creepy.
Oh, we got a couple babies in here with, like, you know, instead of, like, diapers, they've got, like, a bunch of little metal parts stuck onto them. And, like, Picard's like, describe it to me. This is sexy. Wait, no.
Oh, come on. Don't go there.
No. It's like, what are they doing to the children?
So they figure out that it seems like the Borg are born as biological life forms, and then they begin growing cybernetic implants. I don't know, it's kind of confusing when you think about later on in the series when they go more into the Borg.
Where they're instead of in drawers, they put them in into basically these big like pods with like liquid in them, and they just like grow them really fast.
Really?
Yeah. Although the Borg get technologically more advanced the more you see them.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, they assimilate most of their crew. So it's like, why is the nursery necessary? Like, I always wondered, like, is this like when they assimilate, say, a pregnant mother and like she gives birth, and then that's like technically a Borg baby? That's, I don't know. I have a lot of questions.
I mean, maybe they're so far out from the core of the Borg, maybe they hadn't caught up to the technology where they're just all assimilated. Because, I mean, we don't get, like, the nanoprobe assimilation technique until First Contact?
Yeah, First Contact
is the first
really
time
the
you
first
see,
time
is
they
the first time you
showed sh- that.
Is the first time you see that, and then you see it all the time in Voyager.
Yeah.
But yeah. Voyager is like in the heart of the Delta Quadrant, and this one's got to be on the edge because they're only 7,000 light years away instead of 70,000. So maybe they just haven't caught up to the rest of the Borg, and maybe they had to procreate the old-fashioned way to
I still have many questions.
I mean, who knows? I mean, like, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, like, it's not clear, and the Borg keep changing over and over again. And then later on, there's maturation chambers where they just put them in a microwave and wait for them to blow up. But the thing is, like, someone said 7 of 9 was in one, but I did the math, and she grew up naturally, so.
Well, she was assimilated when she was a child, though, so maybe she did get put into something in the Borg nursery, so to say, till she, you know, reached her,
you know,
her peak, you know, performance.
Yeah, but also, like, the thing is, the timeline doesn't make sense because they didn't discover the Borg until, like, she should have been like in her 20s. I don't know, like, she's like in her 20s on the show. I mean, no, she's like in her, I think she's like, this is like in her mid to late 20s in Voyager. And Voyager's only like 7 years or less after TNG. So, like, the timeline's kind of funny. Like, because her parents are all about trying to find the Borg.
Yeah, and this is like the first time you see the Borg. So, well, actually, I don't know.
It gets convoluted.
It's complicated.
When there's 700 something episodes.
Alexander Roshenko, too, you know.
Well, Alexander Roshenko is like 6 or 7 in Deep Space Nine, even though he looks like he's in his 20s. Although Naomi Wildman's like 2 or 3 when you see her most of the time, and she looks like she's 10.
Yeah, I don't know. So many questions.
So many questions.
But anyways,
they don't explain these things to us. Please, Paramount, CBS, give us reasons.
But anyway, so Picard has the away team beamed back, and then he says, okay, time to leave. They start out at warp 8, which is, it's a pretty high speed for the ship. Like, they can't really.
Like, 9.2 or 3 is, like, really the max they can do comfortably. And it's still not that comfortable.
Yeah.
That's what and, that's max.
Like warp 10 is the theoretical limit and you can't.
It's the threshold.
It's the threshold.
How long can you hold max warp speed?
Max warp speed in TNG is like 9 point something. It's like 9.3.
Depends on the ship.
5.
Because they were saying originally when they first got flung there, they were asking where the closest starship or star base was. Is that what it is?
The star base.
And they said it was two light years away or 2 years away?
2 years away so at two maximum warp.
And that's at maximum warp. So that's what I was wondering. How long would they last going at max? They couldn't do it in 2 straight years of maximum warp.
Oh, they'd have to refuel, get more.
That's
lithium,
what I thought.
Get
okay.
more deuterium, get more,
okay.
More of everything, really.
Okay.
Because, I mean, things would run out. Because that's the whole deal with Voyager. They get thrown 70,000 light years away, and it's going to take them 70 years to get back home.
I get it. Okay.
So they're always having to, like, stop and find stuff. Although most of the time they're just stopping to look at things just to do it, and then they get in trouble for doing it.
All right. I get it now. Cool.
That's the plot of Voyager.
Yeah, pretty much. Instead of, hey, let's get home, it's like, hey, let's look at that. Oh, let's look at that. Oh, let's look at that. Oh, but we're trying to get home. But there's a nebula.
So on this, when they take off to get away from the Borg, they're going at 8? Warp 8?
Yes, yeah, they're going at warp 8.
So they're going, like, you know, like, the pedal to the metal, more or less.
Okay.
And without breaking the ship. Like, 8 they can do without breaking the ship. Once you cross 9, the ship will start to break.
Okay.
Yeah, they usually do 9 for much shorter distances.
Emergencies only.
Yeah. And so then, Q comes back and he says, Borg aren't going to stop. And
they're going to match you.
Stayed where you belonged, even though Q was the one that flung them there. So whatever, Q.
Oh, they should have stayed where they belonged, and Q would have let them if Q could have become an ensign or a captain or co-captain or something.
That's true.
It's still Picard's fault. Everything is Picard's fault in this episode. Don't piss off an unlimited power being. I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer thing to do. Picard's like, haha, I'm going to piss him off.
And so then they try to fire on the ship, but the Borg ship isn't affected.
They've adapted.
And then they fire a shield-draining missile, which I don't think we ever see again.
Nope. Not to my knowledge.
Just... Yeah, and so the Enterprise now has very low shields and tries to fire torpedoes again because that worked the first time.
Yeah, and Q's like, I think my work here is done. Have fun. I'll see you guys later. And then Picard pulls out of some Shakespearean acting.
Yeah, and then Q also says again, you know, like, you can't run from them. And they'll just, you know, they'll just regenerate, keep coming back, and then, like, you'll be weak enough, and they're gonna, you know, they'll take you.
It's like, this is a losing battle. You can run as long as you want, you're still gonna lose, no matter what. And then Picard's like, I need you!
Yeah, and then, you know, Picard says, like, there is no way for us to get out of this, like, we need you, we need your help.
I was saying how fun. I love how his original reason, Picard's original reason is, you'll have no one to boast or whatever. You know what it was like? I was like, really?
You won't be able to gloat about this to anybody.
That's the reason you think it's a good idea to save him?
It's like
Picard's, there's no other good reason, Picard.
Picard's still being a dick at this point. He's like, he doesn't want to give in. Like, I love
and also
Picard.
Q really enjoys bugging him. That's like one of his. That's why he keeps coming back.
it's true. So I mean, Picard is smart in the way that he's appealing to Q's ego. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's something Q would care about because Q loves bothering them. But it's still like Picard's still like, I don't want to ask for help. He's trying to appeal to him without actually asking for help.
Yeah.
And then Q's like, come on. And he's like, okay, I need you. We need you. Help us. Finally, Picard, show some human decency.
And then Q says, you know, thank you for it. Or he doesn't say thank you, but he's like, you know, congratulations for admitting that you needed help. And another man would have been humiliated to say those words. And then Picard's like, I'm still upset about those 18 people. And Q's like, well, the universe is a dangerous place. And then he just kind of disappears.
That was a kind of cold slap in the face at the end where he's just like, too bad. deal with it. I could fix it, but too bad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He could have fixed it, but he's like, no. Yeah. He's like, you were a total asshole to me the entire
episode.
Not
just that. He's just like, you also saw what you're going to see in the future, so ready for that.
This is coming for you now.
It's pretty sweet. I enjoyed it being new to this. I enjoyed that episode. It was really cool.
Yeah, and then finally we see Picard and Guinan playing three-dimensional chess, barely. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of contemplating the future, and she's like, "You weren't supposed to be out here." Basically, everything she says is cryptic.
Yeah,
but basically the brunt of everything is that they used to sleep together at some point. It has to be.
Oh, maybe. I could see that. I could totally see that.
Especially in Best of Both Worlds, like whenever she has that talk with Riker in the quarters. She, the way she talks about him, she's like, he was everything to me, but we need to forget him so we can not die. And I'm like, they slept together. They totally did it. And then they probably did it in the Mark Twain episode.
Maybe. A younger Guinan.
Exactly. That's why she left such an impression. He left such an impression on her.
I'll have to check it
out. She looks the same, though.
Exactly the same. She's 200 years old. I mean, she's, you know,
she's got experience. She's
still looking good.
200 years experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at the end of that, so when Guinan's talking to Picard, she says, you know, since they are aware of your existence, they will be coming.
Dun, dun,
and then,
dun.
And then she's like, you know, you can bet on that. And then, of course, they do come back. There we go. It's the first episode with the Borg.
I think there's only 5 in TNG total. I don't know if that's counting the double episodes, but I feel like that's what Memory Alpha said, 5.
Yeah, because that would be this episode, The Best of Both Worlds, Part 1 and 2, Q-Who, and then Descent, Part 1 and 2.
Yeah. And then you see them a bunch in Voyager, and then, like, they're wussified in Voyager. It's one of the reasons I have a problem with Voyager, is because the Borg are so hard to beat, and that's why they showed up so few times in Next Gen, is they're so hard to beat, they just had a hard time figuring out. And then, like, in Voyager, like, they beat them all the time with one itty-bitty ship, because Voyager is a much smaller ship than the Enterprise. So, you are a Trek noob. I know you've been asking questions, you know, throughout, but... And you said it was a good episode. You enjoyed it. Give us some more thoughts for your
yeah no like I
Star Trek.
Like I said before, my only experience really was like as a kid. I saw a couple Star Trek movies. Like I remember seeing the whales one because I was a kid. It was like sweet, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I remember that, and they were like on our Earth in our time, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So I remember just being like, '80s. So I remember seeing that as a kid, and I remember being very aware of the show itself and the characters and Next Gen and the characters, like the relation. Like, never watched an episode. And I was telling you before we started recording, David, that last year was the first time I watched any Star Trek episode ever. And I was like, I'm going to watch the original series just to get a feel for like what these guys got into at the beginning. Right?
Okay.
First episode, I'm like, where's Captain Kirk?
The cage.
Like, he's not even there. What's going on?
Well, what's interesting about that is that was the original pilot for Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it flopped. It was too cerebral for audiences. The studio was going to pass on it. But Lucille Ball, I Love Lucy... She stepped in and was like, "No, no, 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 no! What can we do?
Really?
What can we do to make to give it a second shot?" She got a broom and swept the set. Like, she did everything she could to make Star Trek come
really.
Back. Yes,
that's amazing. I did not know that.
There's an episode of Enterprise where they kind of do a shout out to Lucille Ball, where a couple Vulcans crash land on Earth in the past. It's not really a time travel episode. It's just the one of the characters is telling a story. And then there's like a joke in the episode where like, oh, we've got to go out and do something. And it's like, oh, I can't tonight. I Love Lucy is on. So it's like a shout out. Nice. It's a shout out to Lucy.
So I was aware of Next Generation from growing up and when it was on TV, but had never watched it. But then when we met you at the con and we were watching that trailer, I was like, you know, this actually looks decent. This new show coming out. It almost looks like a film. It doesn't look like it's going to be TV, you know? So we talked about that, and then I started listening to some of your episodes, and the one that caught me was the one, what was it? The Moriarty ones.
The hologram going on.
The way you do it back to back. So that's when I watched those ones, and I was just like, I already am very familiar with these characters. So I felt like I kind of, you know, knew the world, but not so much because I never saw the sets before, never saw any of this. So it was kind of still very new to me as well. Watching this one already, coming off of watching those other two now, again, familiar with the characters, getting a feel for what they're like. But again, I was very familiar with the Borg as well, you know, in pop culture. Star Trek is big enough to saturate, like, even someone who's not a fan, they're going to know what that character is.
It saturates everything. And the thing that blows me away is, like how are people, like the Big Bang Theory references it all the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, so many non-nerds watch that show. Mm-hmm. And there's so much Star Trek references in the show, like, down to even having Leonard Nimoy voice the character, his toy. He played the voice of Spock. He didn't show him on camera, but he voiced the character.
There's a lot of Star Trek cast members that guest star on The Big Bang Theory as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so it's just, I mean, I was raised a Trekkie. My dad was a Trekkie, so, like, as an infant, you know, as a toddler growing up, he had Star Trek on. He had the VHS tapes he recorded off the television.
Yeah.
Like, you mean,
that sounds familiar.
I was raised.
I was also raised a Trekkie.
You know, raised and born and bred a Trekkie. So,
yeah,
like,
see, I had no experience with it. So this has been very interesting. But in watching, like, this specific episode, again, when I saw the info, what the name, you know, it told me what this episode's about, I had to look up, okay, let me just see what this Q is and what the idea behind it is. And then I enjoyed it, man. I really did. It's enough for me to say I want to see the other episodes of this series, because I was familiar with Next Gen, and I was telling you this also. I probably am going to try giving these the whole series a shot, start watching them from episode one on. It's interesting.
Yay.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Converting me into a...
Welcome to the fandom.
that's the joy. That's
but
aspect,
it is. It's very cool. And I wouldn't mind checking out other series as well. But the new one I'll probably watch from when it starts.
I've got a primer somewhere of Deep Space. Although I just lost my hard drive. I may not have that primer anymore. But I could kind of give you episodes to skip on Deep Space Nine. Because Deep Space Nine it's my favorite series of all. But, like, I would recommend you watching... Like not watching most of the first and second season. Like, I'll recommend very specific episodes because it's got a really slow burn. And then watch the entire series and then go back and watch all of them. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll appreciate them more because
after knowing
I did. Because I hated most of the first and second season on my initial watch of Deep Space Nine. And after I seen the entire show in its entirety and then I went back and watched them, they weren't as bad. I don't know why. Hmm. Maybe it's because I know where the show goes.
Yeah.
And I understand everything, all the arcs, because there's tons of characters in Deep Space Nine, a lot more than I would say pretty much any of the other series, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, Natalie? Definitely. Because with Deep Space Nine, it takes place on a space station, and then they have a lot of long plot arcs, which is not very typical for a Star Trek series. Mm-hmm. So you're able to introduce more of, like, you know, secondary characters.
And, like,
in the show,
yeah, there's so many.
They stick around longer. They're not just there for one episode. You know, they're there for several episodes.
Yeah,
they show up so much they might as well almost be main characters, but they're still guest stars. Like Jeffrey Combs that we talked about, he shows up a bunch. There's a character named Gul Dukat. He's not a main character, but he's in so much of the episodes. He might as well be a main character. I mean, and he's so important to the plot. Like,
he's like the main bad guy, and he shows up, I mean, from the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And I like that there's so much to this, like this universe of Star Trek. There's a lot to discover. Like, for me, because I'm new to it, like, I've always loved science fiction and I've been into that stuff, comic books. But when I come to something that already has so much material out there, I'm excited for stuff like that, because to me it's like, you just gave me the keys to a whole entire world that I can discover on my own.
Over 700 episodes.
Like, I read comic books and I love comic books, right? So, like, that's my other podcast. But I was always a Marvel kid. I grew up with Marvel. I mean, I read Batman. He's always my character, Batman. I read a little bit of Superman, but that was about it. Not much in the DC world.
Only comic I had a subscription to was Spider-Man. And I had it for a short run. And it was actually kind of, like, provocative. And I was raised as a, you know, my dad was a preacher, so, like, there was stuff in there like my parents really didn't like. So I didn't get to keep my subscription after the first year. Felicia got cloned, and she was like in the cloning chamber. She was like naked and it was coming out. I mean, they didn't show it because they had the smoke on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like,
the insinuation was too much.
Yeah, it was like lots of nudity
you
implied in Spider-Man. Yeah, and I was like 10 or 11, so I was like,
And she's already practically top half naked in her regular costume. Let's be real.
Yeah, exactly.
But she was cloned. And so, but I mean, this was like, I mean, I don't know what run it was. I don't still have them because, like, I think my parents threw them out or something because it was like, but that was the only comics I ever had as a kid.
That's
like,
funny.
I wasn't a comic kid. Like, I was like, I read Star Wars
books. Oh, I totally was. I was a comic kid and I grew up Marvel, but recently I got more into DC, so much so, like, just last year I got into Green Lantern. Like, I knew the character, but just now got into the world. And so for me, there's this huge world and just history and so many stories.
Well, there's a Green Lantern Star Trek crossover.
Exactly. I saw that.
It's really weird.
Yeah, but now it's like, to me, the whole Star Trek idea and universe is just, it's awesome. It's like all this fertile ground of new adventures that I have awaiting me.
That you haven't seen. Like, and like 700 episodes, it is a lot. Like I have a friend named Maria, and we've been friends for a long time. We met through a video game, and she was never a Star Trek fan, but her mom was. But when I started my podcast, this podcast 2.5, you know, 2 and change years ago, I was like, oh, hey, I do the Star Trek podcast. And it's because we were friends, she gave it a listen. And because she listened to the show, she actually started watching the entire series. And she got a text from her a little while ago, like a couple weeks or so ago. I think she said she's done with everything.
Wow.
Like she binged watched the entire show in two years.
Holy cow, dude. Yeah, no, it was the Moriarty ones that really got me into being like, I could watch this. This is entertaining and it's fun and it's cool.
I mean, there's all sorts of stories. And Star Trek's very much about characters. I mean, you're not going to see real arcs until Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I mean, about this show.
They'll reference things. Like in this episode, they reference something that happened in season one. They'll reference things.
All very self-contained, though.
Yeah, like they do reference things, and you have to like know what they're saying to get that there's a reference. Mm-hmm. So it's very – there's continuity, but it's very subtexty. Right.
Not the main story.
There's no real main story. It's just characters.
Yeah.
Put in different situations and how they adapt to those situations.
Yeah, dude. So this episode, I really enjoyed. Again, it just made me feel like, yeah, I really could watch these. I like this. Good stuff.
Oh, very much. What about you, Natalie? Have you seen this episode recently? What were your thoughts and ideas coming to this episode?
I think the last time I saw it was when I watched it with my husband. Because we've taken a bit of a break, which is sad because we're almost all the way done with TNG. But I was like, I sat him down and I'm like, we're going to watch TNG, you know, because we're married and you make me watch sports. So I need to make you watch this.
Yes, you got it. I mean, if you have to be subjugated to sports, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some sports are fine, but it's the 24 hours all sports on the TV thing that I have kind of a problem with.
I think I kind of reprehend. I have a reprehensive. Part of the reason I hate sports is because like my dad would watch sports, but he'd also be reading a book. So like my dad would be reading and have the baseball game on. I'm like, oh, can I watch something? And he's like, no. I'm like watching the game. I'm like, no, you're reading the book. And so, that's if he would respond to me at all, you know, it's just like, oh, come on, dad. And I'm like, dad, hey, daddy. I'm like doing the Stewie thing. Like,
like, sounds kind of familiar.
It's just kind of like, come on. It's like, I think that's probably why I have like such turned off the sports. Cause like it was boring to me. And then it was really hard to get my dad to respond if I was trying to ask him something.
But yeah, but anyways, I also thought that my husband would enjoy the series. I just want to preface with that.
Mercy watching, okay.
Yeah, so I'm also trying to get him, you know, trying to do TNG first and then get him into Deep Space Nine because I think he would really enjoy that series. And then he'll know what I'm talking about, you know, some of the time.
That would be good. That would be good. Yeah. I made my girlfriend watch all of Star Trek. She only liked really TNG. She didn't really care for the other ones very much.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that was probably the last time I watched it. And
was that a while ago?
It was a while ago. Maybe so at least a few months ago.
Well, that's
or
not,
a year.
That's not long. I want to say the last time I sat down and saw this episode was in the movie theater. I saw the Fathom event. I saw the Fathom event like 3 or 4 years ago when they released the Blu-ray disc for the 25th anniversary.
Where did you see it? North Park?
It was the where the IMAX is. Okay. It wasn't in the IMAX theater, but it was in that.
Yeah,
it was in
I know where you're at. Yeah.
That's where I saw it.
I missed those. So that's cool that you got to see those. Yeah, at least some of them.
They only did them for the first three seasons. They did. I missed the first season one, and then the second season they did Q Who and the extended version of Measure of a Man, which was amazing. I mean, that's a great episode. The episode's amazing, but the extended cut of it just makes it even better. I love Measure of a Man. And then for season three, they kind of cheated and they did Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and 2. So they kind of showed season 4 and they edited together as one long episode.
That sounds cool.
It's cool, except for it kills the...
Kind of kills the tension.
It kills the tension because, you know, at the end of Best of Both Worlds, there's that music where it's like dun, 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 like that classic, like, hard banging piano music that's like just like dun 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 dun, and like, and then it like just trails out and he's like fire, and then you know, you've got to wait a whole season, you know, a whole, you know, between season to see what happens. You think they're gonna kill Picard, and then you know, it's pretty
anticlimactic.
It is anticlimactic because it goes wrong and nothing happens. But like when you watch the episode together, that music is gone because it doesn't end. It just keeps going. So like the tension at that moment is diminished because the music isn't there.
Oh yeah, that would be true.
So I mean, it was a great idea, except like I just kind of wish they would cut in the beginning of Deep Space Nine into that too, like in between, like where the Wolf 359 sequences. Yeah. That way you could like
the very beginning of Emissary.
Yeah, like I wish they would cut that into Best of Both Worlds, and that way you can kind of see like the that part of the war too. You know, instead of just them talking about Wolf 359 battle, you could see it. That would have been a really cool addition, but that didn't happen.
Oh well.
And then they didn't do any more after season three. I was really bummed about it.
Yeah. Because Star Trek really gets better. I mean, Star Trek The Next Generation really gets better, you know, season three on is when you have a lot more consistently really good episodes.
Yeah, season one and two have some really rough episodes. We've been showing you the good ones.
I have to watch a horrible one and then talk about that.
Yeah, you won't have to wait very long if you start Next Generation at the beginning. I think on your third episode, Code of Honor is about the lowest Next Gen gets. Uh-oh. It's mind-numbingly racist.
Oh wow!
And sexist, and just badly written. Well, like the reason it's racist is because like there's an alien race and they're kind of like weird and they wear clothes like Aladdin and they've got this weird like culture where like the women have all the money and like but the men have all the power, so like the powerful men marry the rich woman and they have this like thing. But the thing is like instead of like putting prosthetics on them and making them look like aliens, they're all black.
Oh no.
So like
which is a very original series thing to do, but they had a much smaller budget. Kidding.
But in the original series got white people and they paint them orange or something. So it's like at least they did something with makeup. But these are just straight up all African American guys and it's so insulting.
Ouch.
And then it's like super kind of sexist to women too. Like it's not great for women. It's not great for women.
I'll let you know when I see it. I'll text you right when I watch it.
Yeah, it's the third episode of TNG. I think it's
like, dude, you are so right.
Yeah, it's really bad. So I mean, like, you know, some people, I mean, it's the first two or three seasons of most of the shows are rough, and then at season three and forward they usually find their stride. Yeah. And they get increasingly better every season.
It's rare you have any TV show though that just takes off right out the gate. It usually takes time.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But the thing is with Star Trek Discovery, it's got to take off right off the bat. It's got to be Game of Thrones, but in space. It's got to be...
I think with the writing nowadays and just, it's so different TV.
Yeah, it does. But it can't flounder for two or three seasons like the other series did. It's got to come out the gate running.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise they, you know... probably won't make another one again ever.
Because I mean, one of the things I didn't mention at the beginning, but it's teased that Nicholas Meyer, one of the producers on Star Trek Discovery, says he's also working on another Star Trek project. Maybe it's Star Trek 4. Maybe it's another Star Trek TV show, which I really hope it is, because I would love for Star Trek to build a world like like they used to, because like Star Trek Next Generation and Deep Space Nine overlapped a little bit, and then when TNG went off the air, Voyager started, and those overlapped. So it was a big shared universe. Mm-hmm. Like they kind of did what Marvel's doing now.
Yeah.
First, mm-hmm. they did it, in the 90s. And if Star Trek comes back and they do multiple shows and have this big shared universe thing, it would be so amazing to see like them just build this giant universe. And Star Trek's totally capable of that. I just hope that there's interest enough and money enough for CBS to do this. Hmm. I would love another golden age of Star Trek.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
You might just get it.
I'm crossing my fingers, my eyes, and my toes. But yeah, seeing this episode in the movie theater was just a great opportunity. It was a lot of fun. And I think that's when I first noticed the Picard, Worf, Ensign, like... a dynamic in engineering. Like I don't remember, and maybe it's just because I hadn't seen it in a while, but in the movie theater I laughed out loud, because I don't know if it was because it was on a big screen, it was so much easier to see everything happening, and it was just like, wow, that's really funny. Yeah. Just the chain of command just went down to the lowest rank, and the lowest rank got thrown across the room. It was such a beautiful thing.
I don't know, I was gonna say I really liked this episode, because it was like one of the earlier episodes where I felt TNG was really catching its stride. You know, like one of the first like episodes that I really truly liked a lot.
Yeah, it's easily one of the best episodes of season two, along with Data.
Yeah, definitely one of the best episodes of season two.
And Dr. Pulaski's not in this episode, which makes it even better.
She isn't. I totally forgot about that. she's MIA.
Yeah, which if she was in this episode, it would have been worse, because she would have shit on Data in some way. Because that's what she does. She'd be like, oh, yeah, so, a cybernetic race? You should go hang out with him, Data.
And I also thought it was interesting because it's one of the few episodes that, like, the TNG Enterprise crew can't solve the problem. Like, yeah. They have to ask for direct help, which I thought was cool.
I totally agree with that. That, you know, usually they always have the answers and they can figure stuff out themselves.
Yeah, like, they Scooby-Doo their way out of everything.
Exactly.
But they can't do that here.
I love that they were like, they're not the end-all be-all, and they finally met their match. And it was such a cool thing.
Yeah, it shows that they're more human. You know, like, we made a mistake.
And we're not perfect.
Yeah, or Picard's like, I made a mistake. Though I won't admit it right away, but I did.
And I won't admit it directly to Q. I can't do that, because I gotta save face, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, where can we find you, Chris, since you're our guest? Where can we find you on social media?
Tell us
about your podcast. Get all that out there.
All right. I do a couple other podcasts. My main podcast is Back Issues Comic Book Podcast.
It's a good show. I listen to it.
It's a bunch of comic book talk.
Dark episodes are amazing.
Yeah. It's a little spinoff we have on that. It's called Back Issues After Dark, and that's just basically stuff we talk about. It's not comic book stuff, after hours stuff. We do that. I also have another podcast I do. It's called History Creeps. And it's about like all the weird, unexplained stuff you didn't hear about in history class.
Oh, that's cool. I need to check that out. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I do that with another guy that's out in North Carolina. Two guys. They're actually in North Carolina. They call in through Skype, and we do that. And that has a splinter show as well. So it's a biweekly show. We do History Creeps every other week, and then we do a show called That's Odd on the reverse weeks, opposite weeks. And that one's kind of like a history thing as well, but just little vignettes of little stories of odd things throughout history.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can find those two podcasts as well as a number of other podcasts on our network, bicbp-radio.com. Check it out. And when you find something you like, head out to iTunes and Stitcher. Make sure you comment and subscribe, follow. I don't know. I'm
Social
on Instagram.
Media?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. Facebook, you can find us, Back Issues Comic Book Podcast. Instagram, it's at Back Issues. Twitter, it's BICB Podcast. And that's it. That's where you find me.
Natalie, what about you? I mean, our listeners, hopefully they heard your last episode. They know you're a cosplayer. You do awesome stuff. Tell
you.
Us more about that.
It is nice cosplay. I was looking at your Instagram. It's very nice.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Do a lot of anime characters, but sometimes I do venture into Star Trek. But I am on, let's see, can't even remember my own Instagram tag.
Mina_P_Chan.
Yeah, I am on Instagram as Mina P Chan. So it's M-I-N-A_ P_CHAN. And then I am also, I also have a Facebook page, but I don't use it very often. I'm trying to be better about that. But that's on Mina P Cosplay. So it's MINA space P space cosplay.
Awesome. And you've been to at least one con since we've been gone, if not two, right? Since the last time you've been on the show?
Yeah, I'm trying to
think. It's been at least one. Do you have any upcoming cons that people can say hi at you at?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be attending the D23 Expo in Anaheim next month. So if you're on the West Coast and you're going to D23, I will be there on Saturday.
Can you say who you're going as?
I'm actually not going to be cosplaying because it's a little too tricky to travel on the plane and pack all my stuff.
Gotcha.
And I don't have anything ready. So I will just be in regular clothes.
Well, if you see or say hi, say you listen to Synthaholics and say you enjoyed getting here on the show, because I always love having Natalie on the show. She is a wealth of knowledge and she's like puts me in my place, which I like.
Oh, thank you. But yes, if you see me and recognize me, don't be afraid to say hi. I like meeting new people. Very friendly.
She is indeed friendly and such a sweetheart. Anything else? Any other place where they can find you other than Instagram?
You said you got a
Facebook page you don't use a lot.
What was the name of that? So it's Mina P Cosplay.
Okay.
MINA space P space cosplay on Facebook. And I'm trying to get better on that, but you know, feel free to message me on Instagram or Facebook if you want to chat. As long as you're not a weirdo.
And you know, she's also in our Facebook group. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/synthaholics. You know, you can always feel free to post your cosplay and where you're going to be there as well. You can all music is provided by Warp 11. Our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. You can find us online at synthaholics.com. We are you can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. We love reading email on the air, hearing your thoughts and ideas and criticisms and, you know, why did you say this about that? We'd love to hear about that and be able to read that back to you and give us our takes on your thoughts. So those are always fun. You can even send us voice messages, you know, because we love hearing those and responding to audio as well. You can go on iTunes, Stitcher, rate us, review us. We need those. Every podcast says it at the end, but darn it, it's true. We need to be seen. We need to be found, and it's hard to get seen and found if we're not getting news reviews or anything, because we just kind of flounder in the weird iTunes algorithm. So more reviews and more stars are always appreciated and greatly needed. If you got a buck or two, you can throw our way. We got patreon.com/synthaholics. We'd really enjoy that. Guy Davis, who's also a co-host on here. He's also got a Patreon for his art because he does a Star Trek comic, USS Tamerlan, and his own personal comic, which is Aflame. So he's an artist for a living. You can go and support him as well. His Twitter is at GSDavisArt. Aaron O'Brien on vacation. We hope you're having a good time. Is at Blackbird 2004. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Natalie, for guest hosting and being my Aaron surrogate tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me back again. It was really fun.
I want to have you back when we have Guy and Aaron, because I think you and Guy would get into some great anime talk. And and Aaron loved having you on last time, as did I, so I'm sure he's missing out and not getting to talk with you tonight. And thank you, Chris, for coming on and being our Trek noob for the evening.
It was my pleasure, man.
It's always fun getting a fresh take on Star Trek.
It was a good time.
Because, I mean, me and Natalie and me and Aaron, we've seen Star Trek so much. It's like, oh, yeah, this. Oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that. And like, and then you, it's like, you're like, oh, what's this? Oh, what's that?
Yeah.
It's great having fresh eyes on it and making us think about it in a different way to have to, like, you know, tell you about
because I don't have the background knowledge to say, oh, I know what you're talking about. You're explaining it to me like you're breaking it down to an idiot. Like, but it's easy.
No,
it's okay. I'm a Star Trek idiot.
they're honest questions for someone who's new to the series, and that's what's great. I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted to start doing this show, is because I'd love to meet people who would be interested in it but just don't know anything and who would want to talk about it. And I think that's one thing podcasts usually don't do that are Star Trek podcasts. It's usually people who are always Trekkies all the time, And I think getting a fresh take on it on the show is interesting for me, and I hope it's interesting for the listeners as well.
I had a good time, man. If you ever want me back again, I'll be happy to do it.
Oh, yeah, sure. It'll be fun. We can definitely do some more Trek Noobs again in the future.
Well, yeah, this was really fun, and also it's nice to hear, you know, a fresh perspective, so to say.
Yeah, for sure. It was awesome getting to meet you also and getting all that knowledge. You know your stuff for sure.
Yeah, she shows me and Aaron up sometimes, too. It's great.
Maybe a little.
It was a good show for me to come on. Then.
I Selena get Gomez, right?
That's awesome.
I'm going to call her that from now on. That was really funny.
You're welcome. Well, thank you one and all for listening. Live long and prosper. And we'll blow shit up, pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Woo!
Woohoo!
That's a show.
Burst my Star Trek cherry.
Woo!
It's awesome.
I made him an alien brain hemorrhage before the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Not bad.
Not bad.
I'm usually just a straight whiskey guy, but that was not bad.
Well, I mean, I've got a giant shelf of whiskey, of different drinks behind me. I'm like, I got to like do my bartending thing. I'm not really a bartender, but I'm like trying to learn all these different things. So I could be.
Open
like,
a Star Trek like, themed bar.
Hell yeah.
That would be cool. I would go to that.
See?
There you go. You got to get her to come out to New York.
Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm so far away.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm in Seattle.
Oh, wow. Seattle. That is far.
If only we could get you to Nickel City next year. That'd be awesome. You could rock some your Star Trek cosplay and your Sailor Moon cosplay. That'd be awesome.
Oh, I love Sailor Moon. Yeah, then we have... Oh, hey. Sorry, that was my daughter.
Oh, you're good.
She can open doors.
She's a velociraptor. Oh my god. Get out of there.